Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're listening to Wyndham Community Chapel's podcast of church service of February 14th, 2021. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's good to have you listening from your homes with us today. Happy Valentine's Day. As we spend time this morning with God's people and the presence of God and in His Word, I pray that this service will be a blessing. I pray that as we open God's Word, that you will open your hearts to what God has to say to you this morning. One of the great joys we have as God's people is to together lift our voices and our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to our great God who has made us, who has saved us, and is worthy of our praise. I want to encourage those of you who are able to come out physically on Sunday mornings to worship with us, to gather together to do so. It's a great time that we have on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock to worship God together in obedience to God and the great privilege and joy we have as His people to gather together in worship. I know for some of you, you're still unable to do that due to your physical limitations, and just know that we continue to miss you, we continue to pray for you, and we continue to ask that God will provide for all of your needs. You are missed on Sunday mornings. The psalmist this morning calls us into worship with these words from chapter 42. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. God has ascended amidst shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise. Would you pray with me as we open? Our Heavenly Fathers, we are in awe of Your goodness and mercy to us today. Thank You for Your invitation to come and gather together to worship You. We invite You to be present amongst us by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Father, we declare that we love You. Thank You that You have made the way of love and eternal life known through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that You would reveal this great love to us all today as we gather in worship. Lead us by Your Spirit to praise You. May our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and our mouths proclaim Your everlasting greatness. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just a couple of reminders to us this morning. We thank you for your continued faithful giving to meet the needs of our church as we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ here in Dummerston and through our ministry partners all around the world. We're thankful that you are continue to be faithful to God in giving your tithes and offerings to Him. Next Sunday morning, joining us here in gathered worship will be Liz Burns, the Executive Director of the Branches Pregnancy Resource Center, one of our ministry partners. She's going to be coming and sharing during the service a ministry update with us, and so you don't want to miss that next Sunday morning during our worship service. Well, we're continuing on in our sermon series called Discipleship in an Instant Society. We're looking at the Psalms of Ascent, and on our faith journey to God, we face many obstacles and barriers, and these psalms are psalms of transition that provide for us courage and support and inner direction for helping us to where God is leading us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 126. And then also this week, men's Bible study is on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and the ladies' Bible study will be meeting on Tuesday morning at 9:30. And that's here at the church, practicing social distancing and wearing our masks. We invite you to come and join us. Well, each week as we gather together, we spend time praying to our great God. And allow me to lead us this morning as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your grace and your mercy to us. The fact that you long to meet and talk with us today reminds us of your great love for us and your desire to deepen and strengthen the relationship we have with you. Your provision to us is generous and undeserving. Your powerful and comforting presence as we go about our lives is the source of our stability and peace. And in light of all this, we acknowledge our dependence upon you. Your grace is enough to sustain us through the struggles we face, and your mercy is unfailing as we lose our way and fall into sin. Lord, we recognize our tendencies towards self-sufficiency in opposition to your lordship over our lives. Help us to live in constant awareness of your presence and in complete dependence upon you. For those who are experiencing illness or loneliness or financial hardships or broken relationships, I pray that they will look to you and your word for wisdom and direction. I pray your Holy Spirit will guide them to your will as they trust in you and not in their own understanding. Thank you, Father, for the access we have to your word and that we can go to it from time to time and over again and receive grace through it. Thank you that we can approach you in prayer. Thank you for the gospel and the anchor that it is for our souls. Now, Father, as we open your word, would you open our eyes to see your truth? Would you give our hearts longing to know and do your will? Would you give us spiritual insight through the Holy Spirit to know how to apply these truths into our lives? As we grow into fully devoted followers of yours, use this time to further that relationship, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said just a few minutes ago, we are looking at Psalm 126 this morning as we open God's Word. The sermon title is, He Has Made Me Glad. A poll conducted by the George Barna Organization a few years ago discovered that the number one desire of all Americans, of most Americans, was to be thinner. The number two was to be richer. If the pollsters had called you, what would you have listed as your heart's desire? Maybe it's to have a fulfilling vocation or to be rich or famous. Or maybe you simply want to be happy. What do you think God thinks of your heart's desire? Do you want too much or too little? C.S. Lewis, a Christian apologist, said, "If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospel, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are too easily pleased." Infinite joy. Dare we even dream of such a thing? Could that be what God is offering us? Is it true that we want not too much, but too little? Pascal once wrote, "Being unable to cure death, wretchedness, and ignorance, men have decided, in order to be happy, not to think about such things." But if joy is anything, it is strength to think about such things, to look directly at the cold realities of life and say, "Nevertheless," and be joyful. Charles Spurgeon once prayed that God would send his congregation a season of holy disorder. He wanted the worthless and lesser things to be shaken up and swept away so the deck could be cleared for God's fresh blessings. Room must be made in our lives for God's joy. Some things must be swept away and removed from our inner life to make room for God. It may be messy, even painful, to be expanded in our desires and capabilities. But remember, God is making room for His joy, which is the core strength of our lives on this journey of faith. Today, we're going to discover that joy is a byproduct of being a disciple of Jesus. So let's start with the present day. In the present day, we are glad. Scripture characterizes joy as what you experience when you are grateful for the grace that's been given you. Joy is not simply described in the Bible, it is prescribed. It is enjoying God's goodness with reckless abandon. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. That's what our text says characterized the pilgrims on their journey of faith to Jerusalem. For joy is characteristic of true disciples of Christ as they journey through this life. It accompanies all true followers of God as a companion through the ups and downs of our lives. Now, we've all tried many different substitutes to fill our heart's desire for inner gladness. We tried to get it through entertainment. We pay someone to make jokes, tell tales, perform dramatic stories, or sing songs. We watch TV or movie dramas, imagining what life would be like if we were in their shoes. Through all of these avenues, we're trying to fill our need for inner joy with entertainment. But eventually, the movie ends. The TV show is over till next week. The concert concludes, and our enjoyment is temporary. A few hours, a few minutes, perhaps a week at most, and then it's over. The money runs out, the show ends, the vacation is over, and with it, the enjoyment slides away. And through these experiences, we've learned that joy and gladness are fleeting and unable to hold on to. Eventually, we learn that joy cannot be fabricated by external stimulus. It cannot be commanded, purchased, or arranged. Well, what's left? Well, we can decide to live in response to the abundance of God and not under the dictatorship of our own insatiable desires. We can decide to center ourselves in the God who generously gives us all things necessary for life and godliness here on earth. We can live each day believing that the Lord has done great things for us and watch our lives be filled with gladness. This is God's provision to all disciples on this journey of faith. Joy is not a requirement of Christian discipleship. It is a consequence. It is what comes to us when we are walking in the way of faith and obedience. Its only source is God, because none of us have it within ourselves except momentarily to be joyous. Joy is a product of abundance. It is the overflow of vitality. It is life working together harmoniously. It is exuberance. It is life centered in God and for God. Let's look together at how joy accompanied the Jewish pilgrims as they journeyed to Jerusalem. Let me read for us Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. The central sentence in this psalm is in verse 3, where it says, "We are filled with joy." The words of verses 1 and 2 are in the past tense. The words following in verses 4 and 6 are in the future tense. Present joy always has a past and a future. Through this passage this morning, we're going to find gladness for our souls and joy for our journey to God. We've already looked at the present, how we are glad. Now we're going to look into the background that produced this joy. Verse 2 tells us that our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. It says in verse 1, "Then the Lord brought back the captives to Zion. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Well, what are the great things talked about here? On almost every page of the Bible, we find them. The story of Israel enslaved in Egypt, making bricks without straw under harsh and cruel masters. Then the next moment, they were running free towards the Red Sea, singing, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." A few years later, we find the story of David's life. He certainly experienced many highs and lows in his adventurous life. There were years of wilderness guerrilla warfare against the Philistines, threats against his life by crazy King Saul, a painful time dealing with guilt from murder and adultery, then in his old age, chased from his throne by his son and forced to set up a government in exile. In spite of all this, at the end of his life, we find him singing this song. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock." Further on in Israel's history, we discover the terrible story of the Babylonian captivity. This was one of the darkest times in all of Israel's long history. Scripture records rape in the streets, cannibalism in the kitchens, a 600-mile forced march across a desert, and extreme cruelty by their captors. And then, surprisingly, we find joy. Initially, we find these gentle words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare has ended and her iniquity is pardoned." Then God assures them of his help with these words, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Fear not." And then finally, Israel responds by proclaiming, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings. Hark, your watchmen lift up their voice. Together they sing joy." So when the psalmist declares, "When the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream," I am sure these events came to the traveling pilgrims' minds. Each of these acts of God was an impossible miracle. There was no way it should have happened, but it did. It was like they were dreaming and woke up wondering, "Did that really happen?" These memories of God's love, of exuberant laughter and shouts of joy, come from minds filled with stories of God's acts on behalf of his children. Joy has history. Joy proceeds from the knowledge and recollection of God's loving kindness to His people in days gone by. Joy is nurtured by living each day, recalling God's history with us, and then building upon its foundation. In your life, what events in the past bring you joy? How has God's abundance been felt in your life? How has God rescued you from certain danger? How has God sustained you through a particularly difficult time? How has God answered your desperate plea for help? How has God strengthened your feeble knees that buckled under intense stress and pressure? What miraculous acts has God performed on your behalf? For it is in the recollection of these events and the joy they produced that joy for the journey of faith is found. He has made me glad has a past, and that is foundational to present and future joy. Well, the other side of joy is found in verses 4 through 6, and it is in the future tense. We will be glad. Joy is nurtured by anticipation. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can expect that God will continue to produce joy in our lives. Just as He met us in our time of great need in the past, we can know that He will sustain us in our unknown future. Just as joy builds on the past, it borrows from the future. It expects certain things to happen. And there are two images from our text that fix this hope. The first is, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev." The Negev is a vast desert just south of Israel. Watercourses are a network of ditches and channels cut into the desert by water and soil erosion. For most of the year, they are baked dry under the sun, but a sudden rainstorm makes the desert come alive with blossoms. Plants and small shrubs, barely alive, suddenly come alive with vivid color and life. It pictures how God, seemingly without warning, interrupts our dry and barren life with His mercy and grace. This godly invasion brings life and hope and joy to our empty life. The second image is, "May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." Sowing seeds upon an empty and barren land is just plain hard work for a farmer. There is no immediate reward for his efforts. In fact, there is no tangible indication that he's done any work at all. The results come at the time of harvest, many months still to come. And this reminds us that all suffering, all pain, all emptiness, all disappointments are like seed. And if they are sown in God, it will eventually bring a harvest of joy from it. By now you've realized that the writer of the Psalms of Ascent and those pilgrims who sang them on their journey to Jerusalem were well acquainted with pain and suffering. They carried painful memories of enslavement and exile at the hands of cruel masters. They knew the heartache of sin and its effects upon their lives. They knew what it meant to sow in tears. Their experiences teach us that joy is not an absence of weeping or sorrow. Pain and hardship still come, but when they do, they are unable to drive out the gladness of our hearts. A mistake that is often made by Christians is to try and eliminate everything that brings pain into our lives. If people have disappointed you in the past, we tend to withdraw from relationships. If the church has brought pain and disappointment into your life, we leave and go to another that doesn't appear to have the same problems. And then, because you're left with emptiness and unresolved pain, you try to find joy in the form of vacations or entertainment. There isn't a hint of this in Psalm 126. In fact, joy is found in the middle of life's disappointments and the painful experiences of your life. Psalm 126 teaches us that laughter is a result of living in the midst of God's great work. Enjoyment is only found not in escape from boredom or withdrawal from pain of life, but plunging by faith into the work of God. Joy comes because God knows how to wipe away our tears and produce a smile on our face. True joy is what God gives, not what we can work up on our own. Laughter is the delight that things are working together for good to those who love God. This joy is found on the road of discipleship for those who recognize that the Lord has done great things for us. We discover that His ways are just and His promises are absolutely sure. For it is in the midst of pain, suffering, loneliness, and misfortune that we find joy. The Apostle Paul, while in prison, wrote these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul discovered that only in Christ is true joy found. It comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and that joy proceeds from the power that is ours through the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome all of life's difficulties. Joy also comes from knowing that the Lord is near and an ever-present help in times of trouble. The psalmist experienced this and gave testimony to this reality in Psalm 31. He writes, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place." So, what is your heart's desire? What do you want more than anything else in your life? God desires to give you infinite joy as your constant companion on this journey of faith. I heard a story about a man who was browsing in a store when he made the shocking discovery that God was behind the sales counter. So the man walked over and asked, "What are you selling?" God replied, "What does your heart desire?" The man said, "I want happiness, peace of mind, and freedom from fear. For me and the whole world." God just smiled and said, "I don't sell fruit here, only seeds." The psalmist does not offer us a simple formula to achieve joy, but rather a reminder that joy is a consequence of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We are encouraged to live by faith and experience joy and share it with others on the same path that you're on. It tells us the story of God's acts, which put laughter into people's mouths and shouts of gladness on their tongues. It remembers the promises of God that follow His wandering and weeping children on their faith journey to Him. We remember, and we are glad, for it is only in God that infinite and fulfilling joy is found. Scripture tells us, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Let's pray. Father, thank You that infinite joy is available to us on our journey of faith. In the midst of a troubled world that wasn't friendly to Jesus and certainly isn't friendly towards His followers today, we are grateful to know that You provide infinite joy for our journey. Your goodness anchors our lives in times of struggle. Your faithfulness keeps our feet on the solid rock when the winds of anger and hostility overwhelm us. With the psalmist we proclaim, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. As Your word taught us today, joy is the byproduct of being a fully devoted follower of Yours. So my prayer this morning, Father, is that we all would pursue being Your disciple, that joy would permeate our lives and our outlook. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's benediction, as we close our service, comes to us from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you this week, and look forward to seeing you again next week.